you'll be pleased to know I have a flight to catch after a while, so you don't have to worry about me being here too long. But I have just enjoyed and been blessed by what Brother Jody has brought forth, and it's been a great encouragement. And we certainly want to be committed to praying for he and his wife and his children. I can tell you that I haven't moved out of the country, but moving about 2,000 miles, the Lord can, when the Lord's in the matter, he can make the new place more like home than home was when he's there. And he can bless you to know it's his will, and we'll pray the Lord will bless you in that. Your pastor, it means so much to me. I oftentimes have challenges and struggles, and I call your pastor and receive counsel from him. He's helped me in a lot of problems that I've dealt with in the ministry, and I'm so thankful for him, for his ministry. Thankful for the church here, and I'm thankful for each one of the young folks that are here this afternoon. What a blessing yesterday to meet on a Friday and have so many young folks that have a desire, a passion to worship and serve the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Brother Zach, do you ever want to turn the clock back? Sometimes I do. I think, well, if I had it to do over, I'd do a lot of things different. Sure would. Well, I can't turn the clock back, but I'm looking at a lot of folks right here that if the Lord spares, you probably have 50, 60, 70 years ahead of you to serve Him. Unless you get to the point that you look back on your life and you think, well, I'd like to turn the clock back, do some things over, made some wrong turns and wish I hadn't have gone down those roads. Maybe we could just encourage you a little bit this afternoon. 2 or 3 years ago, Brother Eric Winchell was baptized in New York State. And from the best that we could recall, he's the only one that has been baptized in the state of New York in almost 60 years. He was baptized in the branch of the Delaware River. And it was a wonderful day and had a little band of believers gathered, maybe 15 or 20. We just rejoiced in the Lord. We had taken Hassell's history and we began to search out some of the places where the churches were in the 1700s and 1800s. And in the state of New York, at one time, there was a large number of old school or primitive Baptist churches. The buildings are still there, large meeting houses. At one time, some of the meeting houses would hold 500 people. New Jersey's the same way. Pennsylvania's the same way. We were blessed to find church buildings in all the way up into Maine, places in New Hampshire, in Vermont, where the gospel was proclaimed. It looks like, if you look at a map of where all the church buildings are located now, it looks like that in the early 1900s that the Lord took his hand and wiped it across that portion of the United States and began to close those doors one by one. Every time I walk through a cemetery, most of those old churches have large cemeteries around them. The church at Hopewell, New Jersey has over 1,600 that are buried in the cemetery, and all of them were either members of or affiliated with the Old School Baptist Church. That's a requirement to be buried in that cemetery. And I walk through those cemeteries and I say to myself, what happened? What happened? I believe the Lord can revive the work again. And I hope I live to see those areas flourishing again. But in one particular location in a little town, a little one-street town of Hawkinsville, New York, about 2 hours northwest of New York City. We found the meeting house there, and we began to talk to people in the community. And we said, is there anybody left that had any affiliation with the meeting house here in this area? Met the mayor. It's kind of like Boss Hogg. I don't know if you've ever seen that show, but he kind of reminded us of that. And he said, there's one person that's still living that was affiliated with the church. He said, her name is Mrs. Buzzy. She's 92 years old, and she runs the Carriage House Bed and Breakfast right down the street. And so we walked down the street, and Brother Eric and I, and as we walked past some of the doors, we could see folks pulling their blinds. I don't know if you've ever spent much time in upstate New York, but it's just not common for two men to walk down the street in trench coats and knocking on doors. And so we began to see blinds pulled, and we went to her front door, and we knocked on the front door, and there was no answer. So we walked around. She had a big wraparound porch on the house. We walked around to the side porch, and as we walked around, we noticed a coffee cup full of coffee by one of the windows. And we walked around, we knocked on the back porch, and we said, well, maybe she can't hear because she's 92. It's very likely. So we knocked on the back door to see if maybe she was there. And there was no answer. So we walked back to the front porch, and the coffee cup was almost empty. And it was full when we walked by. So we said, there's somebody in the house. And there was a cat in the window, and we wondered if the cat was drinking the coffee. But so then we went back to the car, and we thought, we'll call her. And we called her, and she said, she answered, and she said, what do you want? And folks up there, pretty direct and to the point. For a southerner, it's kind of hard to get used to, but we finally said, we understand that you had a grandfather that pastored the church here. His name was Elder Clark, we understand. All of a sudden, her countenance changed, her composure over the phone. She said, come on down. I want to talk to you. So we went to her home and had a wonderful time of fellowship. It had been over 80 years since she'd been in a worship service of Old Baptist. She had thought that all Old Baptists had died out. She didn't know that there was anybody. She made me feel young because she said, I didn't know there were any young Old Baptists. And she thought they'd all died out. But when she realized that there were still some living, she asked us about the songs. She asked us about the churches. And it was such a blessing. And we said to her, wonder if it'd be possible. You think there'd be any folks that would have an interest in having another service in this area? And she said, I know a lot of people in this little town. And she said, I'll invite them and we'll have it right here in my home. Now keep in mind, she's 92, running a bed and breakfast. So we scheduled a date a month out, and she got on the phone and she called all the folks that she knew. And we went back up there. And we didn't know whether anyone would come or not. But as we were making, I'll go on and tell you that they did, and we had a wonderful meeting. But as she was making preparation, she asked us. She said, would you boys go across the street to my sister's house and pick up a card table? She'd also prepared a meal for those that would come to stay and have a meal. And so we walked across the street. We'd never met her sister. Her sister was younger. She was only in her mid-80s. And so when we knocked on her door, she had already heard about us, and she had heard that we were old school or primitive Baptist. And when we knocked on the door, the greeting that we received shocked us. She said, I hear you're old school or primitive Baptist. She said, I have a problem I'd like to talk to you about old Baptist. We just wanted to borrow a card table. We didn't want to get into dealing with any problems. She'd been carrying this all of her life. She said, when I was a little girl, she said, the church was for grown-ups. She said, oftentimes, our parents would leave us at home and other parents would leave their children at home because the church was for grown-ups. She said, our parents went to church, but they didn't talk to us about the things of the Lord or the things of the Bible. And she said, they expected us to wait until we were grown to find a place in the church. And she said, you say, and we hadn't said anything up to that point, but she said, you say you don't believe in Sunday schools. Well, where are they going to learn if you don't believe in Sunday schools? If the parents don't teach them in the home. And you could tell that this is something that she had dealt with all of her life. And you know, she's right. If we fail to realize that the church of Jesus Christ is just as important for the young folks as we do the old folks, we shouldn't be surprised when the doors close. It's sad to say that there's a lot of places that you can go where all it is older folks that are there. Now, you know, I love old folks. I can remember saying one time that I was having some challenges in pastoring, and a lot of it was with young folks. And of course, they have challenges with me, too. So they're very long suffering. But I can remember saying one time, I think this pastoring is just getting so burdensome. I think if I could just pastor a handful of 80-year-olds, I'd be real happy. Because they don't have problems, but you know they do. And I went to another church in New York, and the attendance was 80-year-olds. Is all they could do to get in the door. And I was thankful to be there. But I said, Lord, forgive me for ever saying that I didn't feel like I could pastor the young folks as well. You are a testimony of the Lord's church being for the young folks as well as the old folks. You are a blessing. You are an encouragement. And I, in turn, want to encourage you. She taught me a lesson there. The church is not just for the grown-ups, but it's for the little ones as well. What better place for the youth to learn the instruction and the direction in life than in the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. What's he talking about in the evil days? He goes on to tell you about the evil days. Brother Gus Harder visited our church in Lubbock, and this was years ago, and my grandfather was 91 years of age, and I'd taken him to hear Brother Harder. He'd never heard him before, and he was just richly blessed to preach a real good message out of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And he preached and described the evil days, and that's the old age years. And he went into detail about when the sun and the moon and the stars be darkened, or the clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of the hands, the keepers of the house, the hands begin to tremble, and the strong men begin to bow themselves, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. And he began to describe old age, and Granddad told me on the way home, he said, he gave an accurate description of old age, because he said, I feel like I'm experiencing just about everything that he described right there. And he said, it's not pleasant. It's not. And he said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. Again, in Lamentations chapter 3, he says, it is good, verse 27, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth, in his early years, in his young age, that he bear the yoke in his youth. Why is it that we need to remember our Creator in the days of our youth? The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians that there's many wiles of the devil. And he especially has some of those fiery darts, some of those arrows, some of those wiles. He especially has them targeting the young folks. I'm going to tell you that if at the age you're at right now, that you will commit to be as close to the Lord and follow His direction and His will in your life and everything that you do from this point forward, it's going to spare you from an awful lot of hardship. It sure is. It's going to save you from an awful lot of disappointments and discouragement. Now, when we do go astray, I'm so thankful that we have a loving Heavenly Father that loves us so much that He chastens us. I'm going to tell you that if you ever experience the chastening hand of the Lord, He tells us how we should receive His chastening hand. I don't know if anybody here has ever experienced the chastening hand of the Lord, but I sure have. I've lived long enough and I've made wrong decisions and I've gone the wrong direction, and I'm thankful that the Lord loved me enough that He chastened me. And if you ever experience the chastening hand of the Lord, you'll know that it's from the Lord. You will. He says, my son, despise not thou the chastening hand of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. First of all, He gives us two instructions right here. He says, when the Lord chastens you, don't despise it. Don't become bitter and despise the chastening hand of the Lord. Or number two, don't faint and say, well, I'll just pitch in the towel. I'll just quit if I'm experiencing the chastening hand of the Lord. He says, for the Lord, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? He says the Father chastens you because He loves you. And the Father has a desire that you follow Him in obedience. Now He comes on down and He says, He makes the comparison. He says, furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. He says our fathers chastened us, and they did it to the very best ability that they had, to the very best understanding that they had. And I'm thankful now looking back. Sure didn't appreciate it at the time, but I'm thankful now looking back that I had a father that He didn't spare the rod. If I needed correcting, my father was quick to do it. And he did it to the very best of his ability. There was one time that I do remember that I got a spanking that I didn't deserve. He thought I did, but I hadn't done what he thought I did. But just because I was in the group and folks were lined up, he just took care of all of us. And that's the one spanking that I remember that I shouldn't have gotten, but I can tell you there was an awful lot of them that I should have gotten that I didn't get. And you know, that's sort of the way it is with the Lord. We have a Heavenly Father that, yes, He corrects us, but He sure is merciful in His correction, is He not? Don't we all desire to be much more chastened than what we have experienced thus far? But our natural father might not chasten us just enough, or might chasten us too much, or might chasten us when we don't need it, or might not do it when we do need it. But our heavenly Father knows exactly what we need every time, and He gets it just right. Now, just like all of your children are different, all of the Lord's children are different, but He knows exactly what it takes on each one of us to reach our case. And I'm thankful that He does. And He says that He does it that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous. Boy, I can attest to that from a natural standpoint or from the standpoint of experiencing from the hand of the Lord. It's not designed to be joyous. It's not. No chastening seems to be joyous, but grievous. But He says there's something that it bears. And it's just great if we learn this in our youth. He says, nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Pray that God will bless you to learn the lesson and to learn it early on and to learn it well when the Lord is teaching you a lesson. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I'm going to tell you a couple of things that will help you in remembering your Creator. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have rule over you. For they must give an account. And He says that they do it with joy and not with grief. He says they watch for your souls. You've already been instructed to pray for your pastor. Take what your pastor teaches and apply it. Your testimony is that you're doing exactly that. Thank God for the pastor that you have. And pray that God will bless him with messages. You're here from a variety of different places. But pray that He'll bless the pastor with messages that you can take in your life that will affect you and your worship with your Lord. Take it seriously. Be diligent in prayer. Pray that God will give you wisdom and discernment and direction in life. Be faithful in His Word. Proverbs is outstanding for young folks. It's a manual written for parents in raising children. And it's a manual for young men and young women in starting their life. If you will take Proverbs and you will apply those truths in Proverbs, I guarantee you it will affect you the rest of your life in a positive way. It'll be a blessing to you. Let's just look at a couple of verses here, a few verses in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now, this is written, it's written to all of us, but it's written especially to you young folks right here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, sometimes it takes me above 40 years to realize that my own understanding is not the right way to go all the time. I need to know God's way and God's direction. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. He says, in some of thy ways acknowledge Him. No. No. He says, in all thy ways. That means where you're going to go to school. That means the job that you're going to take. That means the young lady or the young man that you're going to court or that you're going to date. That means where you're going to live, what you're going to do, what you're going to do with the time that God has blessed you with. He says, in all of your ways, acknowledge Him. I can tell you, if you acknowledge God in all of your ways, all of your life, He's not going to lead you down the wrong path. He's not. He says, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And He says, and He shall direct thy paths. You know, I'm thankful for the closed doors that the Lord's put in my life. There are some doors that, occupation-wise and other ways, that I tried to pursue, and the Lord closed the door. I don't know if you're stubborn like myself, but I've actually sometimes kind of taken the sledgehammer out and pounded on the door to see if I could open it a little bit. Yet to realize that the Lord closed the door. I'm thankful not only for the open doors that the Lord provides, but I'm thankful for the closed doors that the Lord provides, because I can look back and I can see that His hand of providence protected me in many, many ways. So acknowledge Him in not some of your ways, but all your ways. He says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." When I turned 18 years of age, I thought I knew it all. I did. Boy, I missed the mark. Don't let Satan sell you that lie. I'm going to tell you who it is that has the wisdom. It's the older brothers and sisters in the church, in your family, that are faithful to serve and follow the Lord. They've been through the trials and the difficulties, the problems, and the Lord has seen them through. The Lord has held them up, and they're the ones that are blessed with light and wisdom and understanding. And the best place for you to be, whether you're 15 years of age, 25 years of age, or 40 years of age, is to be sitting at their feet and soaking up the wisdom that God has blessed them with through the experiences that they've had, through the fellowship with the Lord that they've experienced. Glean from it. He says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord." And he says, and by the way, depart from evil. If you have the opportunity to remove yourself from a setting where evil is taking place, then pray that God will bless you to do it. We're taught that evil communications corrupts good manners. I'm not a mechanic by any means. I can put gas in the car, check the oil, and that's about it. But several years ago, I needed to check the oil, and I was on my way to church, and I had a white shirt on. And I thought, well, that won't be a problem. I can reach the dipstick and I'm not going to get anything on me and everything will be all right. And so I raised the hood and I reached in there to get the dipstick. I checked the oil and I felt real confident that I hadn't gotten anything on me. And I got ready to close the hood of the car and I looked down and I had oil stains on both of my sleeves. You might think that it's not going to affect you. You might think that you're going to avoid it. You might think that it's not going to get on you. But I'm telling you, if you're in the environment of evil communications, it's Scripture, it's truth, that is going to corrupt good manners. You may say, well, I'm so strong that I won't be affected by that. I had a young man that he had overcome, or he had overcome the struggle with alcohol. But yet he still had some friends that he was fellowshipping with in that setting. And he said that his friends were going out to a party. And he said, they're going to need a designated driver. What do you think about me being the designated driver? I said, you don't need to be in that environment. And they don't need to be in it either. And if you're in that environment, then you're putting your seal of approval. And they may be looking to you for direction. You might be the standard that they have. They may not have a church to worship in. You might be the only influence that they have spiritually. And if you put your stamp of approval on it, then all of a sudden they can have some confidence in what they're doing. And they don't need to be there, and you don't need to be there. He says, depart. Depart from evil. There's a whole lot more that in departing from evil, in chapter 4, verse 14, he says, enter not in the path of the wicked. No, God, go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. He says, in fact, you make every effort that you can to avoid the path of the evil man. If you have to go out of your way to do it, you make every path, every attempt that you can to avoid it. Why do I tell you this? Sister Lynn and I had the opportunity of worshiping in West Texas in the church out there in Lubbock, Texas. Brother Michael, and it's now changed his name, but I knew him as Brother Michael Aaron. But I tell you, sadly, those young folks, I was where you are 20 years ago, 25 years ago. There was a group of young folks that were our age that were in the worship service, not as many as here. But when I go back or when I inquire, and I find out that one by one, they left the church. They left the truth. They no longer worship at all, in some cases even in an old Baptist church. I think what happened. Satan is going to do everything he can to draw you away from the church. Can I tell you? Pray that God will bless you to remain faithful to His Word, to His church, to His people, to the truth that is proclaimed in the church. I've had folks that grew up and they sat right next to me on the pew and they rejoiced in the preaching of the gospel, and then years later will begin to doubt the doctrines of grace. If Satan tempts you along the way, you tell him to get behind you, and you pray that God will bless you to be strong and committed and faithful to His Word and to His church all the days of your life. I'm going to tell you, there's some challenges along the way in the church because it's made up of people like us. But I tell you, there's not anything that this world or all of the things that this world has to offer that compare to the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, I want to die in the church. I do. I do. But I'm telling you, I want to live in it as well. And I want you to. And when I come back years down the road, I hope that every one of you are here, and probably by then you'll all have some little ones here, and you'll be busting at the seams at this location. But how sad it would be to come back and a third or a half or 75% of the folks be drawn away by the enticements of the world. I'm telling you, the world does not have anything to offer that's going to satisfy the soul of the child of God. But there is in the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The singing here is just as, it blesses my soul so much, I just was made to rejoice, almost bursted out in tears a while ago. Just the singing of the hymns, how it fed my soul. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. That's right now. Thank you.